This is 18-year-old Aaron Lawson. On October 22, 2020, Aaron fired his handgun at 18-year-old Jennifer Broxson and her friend Allison DeJanes. Both teenagers were hospitalized for their gunshot wounds, and Aaron was brought in for interrogation. Before the interview begins, the detective removes Aaron's handcuffs and then leaves the door partly open, hoping to make him feel more relaxed. While the detective waits for his partner, he engages in small talk with the suspect.
What's your tattoo of?
This is from a mom and this is from a dad.
Got one right here. It's matching with my dad.
Is your dad still alive?
Oh yeah. He just turned 49 actually a few days ago.
I'll be 43 in 10 days.
You look good for 43.
Well, I appreciate that. I don't know if that's a come on or what, but. So once my partner gets here, I'll give you some more water. You hungry or anything?
No, I right before I met those people.
Okay. So. Well, again, like I told you there at the Waffle House, you're going to have your chance to explain your side of the story.
Yes, sir.
So we're going to try to do everything we can to make you comfortable.
Well, a lot more comfortable now than the plastic
seat. Well, I imagine. Those things are uncomfortable for sure.
That's definitely the truth.
This is my partner, Mitchell Kelly. Mitchell, Aaron. Aaron Mitchell. Hey, if you don't mind, can I step out and use the bathroom real quick?
Yeah, you're fine.
Okay, we're good on there and we're good on here. So.
The detective begins by reading Aaron his rights, and he makes sure that he understands them. All the detectives know at this point is what Aaron has told them when he was arrested. Aaron claimed that he had met the two females on Snapchat, and they decided to meet up earlier that day. When Aaron met up with the women, they attacked him, and his only option was to use his father's handgun to defend himself.
Take your time. I know this has been a long night. Start from the beginning of the day. Kind of just start walking me through kind of how we led to here.
Okay. So I think the story really starts about a day ago, roughly 24 hours, probably give or take a few or three or so hours. So the woman with the face tattoo, her and I met on Snapchat. I forget exactly how, it's been a while, but
what's her name?
Couldn't tell you honestly. She has a nickname on her Snapchat, and it was Deadly Baddie.
Say it. How is that?
Deadly Baddie.
B A
D D I E.
Okay.
So I forget if it was exactly I met her off of the quick ad feature on there, or if it was from a mention on someone else's story. But regardless, we met. She posted something on her story. I slid up and we got to talking and she asked me to hang out. I agreed and she really tried to get me to hang out with her yesterday.
What was y'all's conversation about?
Really, she just wanted to hang out. She said she was bored, and I was like, I am as well. So we could do something. She wanted to go to Pensacola. I don't exactly know where. She said by the water. So, like I said, she pushed very hard for me to hang out with her. I declined that night. I said, we could probably do something tomorrow. She said, that sounds good. So today, earlier in the morning, we're making plans to hang out tonight, and, she didn't respond for a few hours, and, sorry, my time frame's a little messed up because I'm an hour ahead, but I want to say about 11 or 10 this time, I went over to a friend's house who I had also just met off of Tinder. That was more of a hookup situation. And so I left there about 12.
Who's that person?
Like I said, we had literally just met. So I want to say her name's Sadie. anyways, I left there and the woman with the face tattoo texted me and said, hey, I'm heading back from the beach. If you want to hang out, we still can. I said, yeah, sure, sounds good. So she got back from the beach and she was like, hey, or she was like, where are you at? I said, I am by Whataburger, McDonald's, and Chick-fil-A by the Walmart. I don't normally visit Pace, but that's the rough estimate of the location. So she was like, oh, could you grab me food? And so I agreed. I bought her a number 15 with ranch and I got her a Coke. I have the receipt in my driver's door. And so I also got taquito with bacon and the meal, so Coke as well. And so I got the food. She said, all right, I'm almost home. I'll text you whenever I get here. I said, all right, that sounds good. She said she, again, was coming back from Pensacola Beach. And roughly 15 minutes later, she texted me and said, hey, I'm ready for you to come pick me up. She sent me the street that she was on. It was about 7 minutes away from her. I drove to her. She said, hey, is it cool if my friend comes along? That was the lady in the yellow hoodie. I don't know her name at all.
Let me pump the brakes for a second. You keep saying woman, you keep saying lady. Do you know how old these women are at this point?
No.
Okay. Looking at their pictures, could you take a guess at how old they are?
No.
Okay. They look like adults?
To me, yes.
Okay.
So, like I said, I continued on, and they both got in the back seat. The lady in the yellow hoodie sat in the if you're looking towards the back of the vehicle, the back right hand side, and the lady with the face tattoo behind me. I said, where to? They told me to go to the boat dock. I didn't know where that was. They gave me directions exactly where to go. Throughout the ride, they made numerous comments on, oh, wow, this is a really nice car. What year is it? What make is it? What model? All that good jazz. And at the time, I didn't think too much of it because that's a common comment I get whenever I'm, you know, meeting people. And so I drive to the boat dock, I park there, I get out of the car, walk over here with them.
Did you pull around like you was facing to drive out or pull in?
I pulled in, front of the car's facing this way.
Okay.
We all get out, we go to the little pier, and we just hang out for a little bit. We're on our phones, talking a little bit. They're asking what I'm like, you know, questions about me, somewhere like, you know, where do I go to school? You know, how old am I and stuff like that. So eventually the pain in my foot gets too much and I need to go to the ER. So I say, hey, I need to go to the ER now. I'm sorry to cut it so short, but
Were you saying that as an excuse, or were you saying because it was
truthfully was uncomfortable, mainly because they kept inquiring about my car, and honestly, whenever they so we get in the car, I pull out back onto the highway, and I get maybe 30 seconds. If I had to take a rough estimate, a third of a mile out. And then the girl with the face tattoo says, hey, I left my Juul charger, which, you know, I was like, okay, I'll head back and we can grab it. She said she left it by the gazebo. So I pulled in the same, in a similar manner, more like this though, not completely in, more, say it at a pair of diagonal angle to the gazebo. And it's at this point that I'm like, okay, you can go get your charger. And they're like, okay, we need to be real with you. They say, quote unquote, we run a business. And at that point, my heart sinks because I felt very uncomfortable at that point. I felt like what eventually did happen was about to happen. They told me that the girl in the yellow hoodie had a gun. They said it was a Glock 17.
Is this girl face tattoo or not?
No, not face tattoo. So she said she had a gun and that I needed to get out of the car. And I was scared, so I did. I took the keys out of the ignition and she said, nope, leave the keys. At that point, I was 100% sure that they were going to take my car. So they say, listen, back up and we're gonna be taking your car. I don't protest at that point because they say they have the gun. I go sit down at the bench, which is right about here. So they back up, pull out that way. So the car is facing like this. I get on my phone to call you guys, and the face tattoo lady gets out and she puts her hand out and says, yeah, I'm gonna need your phone now. You can text your dad and you can send him your location, but we are taking your phone as well. And, I forgot. Whenever the car was still here and I was getting out, I asked the face tattoo lady if I could grab something from my vehicle because I have numerous important things in there to me, like the gun, and I was concerned that giving them another weapon would be overall bad for, you know. Anyways, I ask if I can grab something from the vehicle. They say no, get out, go away. I go here, I get on my phone to call you guys. The lady with the face tattoo goes to try and take my phone. At that point, I don't know what happened, but I decided that I needed to fight for my property, and I did not want to be a victim of this crime. So I engaged in a fist fight with the girl with the face tattoo. The girl in the yellow hoodie gets out of the car and yells, pepper spray him, close your eyes and pepper spray him. So at that point, I cover my eyes, I turn away, and I start running for my car. The girl in the yellow hoodie was closing the door. I put myself between the door and the car. I got on top of the girl in the yellow hoodie and she was screaming, get the gun, get the gun. So at that point I started strangling her because she was also fighting me and threatening me with lethal force. So, the lady with the face tattoo comes up behind me and starts tasing me. I get a break.
What did she tase you at?
My back. I don't know. I think it right about here. The lady with the face tattoo moves back over here and moves to me, gets the taser, starts tasing me. I don't know what exactly happened, but there was a break in them doing things to me. So I reach in the glove compartment, which my dad also keeps a collapsible baton in. I extend it and I start hitting the girls who are attacking me. I get out of the car because...
Where do you think you hit them?
The head.
In the head?
Yeah.
That's where you aim them?
Yeah.
Like at their head? Okay.
So, The girl in the yellow hoodie says, get the gun, get the gun, get the gun. And the girl with the face tattoo turns around and starts heading for the passenger, the right over here, the back right passenger side, if you're looking at the back of the car. So at this point, that's where I believe the gun is, because that's where the woman in the yellow hoodie was sitting. And she got up out of the car, got up from her seat, hopped over to the driver's seat over the storage compartment, which is how she got control of the vehicle originally. So I believe it fell out of her, hoodie or wherever she had it, and that the lady with the face tattoo was coming to get it. At this point, I hit her a little bit, and while she turns around, runs away. And at this point, my dad has an RFID chip, a key, and a code for the safe.
You mean the gun safe?
Yes, sir. I rip off the RFID chip from the keychain. I activate, or I unlock the safe. I grab the gun, rack it, because it was not hot, it was not chambered. I rack it, and I make it known that I have a gun and that they are not to enter my vehicle anymore and that they need to back off. The girl in the yellow hoodie keeps saying that she needs to grab her shoes and her phone. So I felt that this was just her saying that in order to get in the vehicle to grab the gun, which I believe is in the back right passenger side, if you're looking at the back of the vehicle. I tell them numerous times, no, I will shoot you if you enter the vehicle. I'm so sorry. I'm stressed.
No, you're good, buddy.
So ends up opening the door, bolts for the passenger side, and then I take aim. I fire at her through the windshield. I don't...
No, let's slow down. Through the windshield or through another window?
Window right here. I'm sorry, terminology.
No, you're fine. We're just...
Yes, sir.
We're getting to the point to where what we see on scene versus what you're telling us, we need to make sure you're telling us the exact truth.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
So I fire at her, who she's, what I assume, diving for the gun, which that they claim to have.
What did you see her do?
I tinted windows, so I couldn't see anything. I couldn't see much, because black on black on black. And she dives for the floor.
She's on the other side of the vehicle from you, right?
Yes, so I'm right here.
When you say she dives in there, to explain what was she doing?
She opens the door, dives for something, I don't know what at this point. I assume the gun, I take aim, because I had informed them numerous times that they're not to enter the vehicle, because I was worried that was where the gun was, because they clearly didn't have it on them, because if so, they would have utilized it, I assume. And so I shot through the window. I make my way around the back of the vehicle this way, and the lady with the face tattoo is also diving for the same thing. So again, I shoot.
Are they both in the vehicle right now? Like,
no,
trying to get something?
They are right here, kind of on, like, just outside of the vehicle. The lady with the yellow hoodie again reached for something in the vehicle, and to stop her from grabbing what I assume is the gun, I shoot again. And at this point, I realize my gun is empty and that I'm defenseless. Because they had said earlier, in fact, whenever they're trying to grab my phone, don't try anything dumb because we have other people on the way. And so at this point, I'm afraid that I'm going to be getting attacked by more people. And So I enter my vehicle, I put it in drive, and I drive away just to get into a more populated area so I'm somewhat more safe. And as soon as I drive around this way, as soon as I get about right here, I ask my car to call 911.
What Aaron doesn't know is that Allison died at the scene from her gunshot wound. The other female, Jennifer Broxson, survived, and she was able to provide the police with her version of the story while she was at the hospital.
We met, me and that boy met online when he slid up on a story that I shared about Trump. I screenshotted somebody else's post about Donald Trump coming to Pensacola, and they were bashing him. And I screenshot it and reposted it and put the laughing emojis. And he slid up and was like going off and saying, like, you people are a good reason to use our guns. And then after that, like a day later, a person added me and texted me. And I didn't know it was him on a fake account. And he basically just...
What site were you guys on?
Snapchat.
Snapchat?
Yes, sir. And he texted me off of a different account. And I didn't know it was him until we got in the car with him. I was like, I told my friend Allison, I was like, this is that boy who was arguing with me and saying that he would... kill me because of the thing about Donald Trump. And she was like, she took it as a joke. She was like laughing about it because she's a very jokeful person. And she was laughing and she was like, it's okay if he tries anything. We know how to fight. We'll just beat him up and take his stuff. Like basically said, we'll just beat him up and just rob him. And then she started laughing and she said it as a joke. And he started freaking out and we went down to the water and he was just acting weird and like talking to himself under his breath. And then we got in the car and that's when I told Allie, I whispered to her, I was like, that's the boy who was I just realized that's the boy who was arguing with me about Trump and said he would kill me. And she said it out loud. Like, jokingly.
What'd she say?
She was like, oh, it's not a problem. We know how to fight. We'll just beat him up. We'll just jump him and take his stuff. And she started laughing. And then she was like, just kidding. And that's when he, like, got crazy. And, like, he got out the car and put his hands, like, on his head and was spinning around in circles and saying stuff under his breath. And then he came in his car. Allie was scared, so she jumped up front. And she was like, and she locked the doors. She was gonna call somebody. And then we got out and we're gonna go walking down the street because nobody would come pick us up. We didn't know he had a gun and he was beating us with it. And I was hitting him.
What were you hitting him with?
I was hitting him with a hammer and I was tasing him. Whenever me and Allison go out with people that we don't know, we always bring our tasers and our pepper spray. And so I was tasing him and I was hitting him. And before he started strangling Allie, he was hitting me with his fist.
Where did the hammer come from?
It was her dad's. She was like, bring this in case something happens because we don't have any like weapons or anything. And the tasers that we have are like weak tasers. And she was like, bring this. And I was like, okay. And then he started beating us with the police thing and strangling Allie. And I managed to pull the police thing out of his hand and I threw it in the water. And that's when he grabbed the gun. He was like, walk to the road. And Allie was like, I need my shoes. They're in your car. And he was like, no, walk to the road. I'm finna shoot you. And She opened his car door, the back door, to grab it, her shoes, and her taser, so he could go, and he shot her through the glass in the back of his car. And then he shot me, and he shot me again, and he shot at me again, and again. And then he pulled off, and he shot two more shots while he was driving away, but it missed us.
Jennifer's story was different than what Aaron had told the police. They could not find a second gun anywhere at the crime scene, which meant that the women either never had one, or they were able to get rid of it somehow. At this point, they want to make sure that what Aaron did falls under Florida's Stand Your Ground law. In Florida, a person can use deadly force to prevent death or great bodily harm, or to prevent the commission of a forcible felony, like robbery or carjacking. The victim has no obligation to retreat, even if running away is an option. If the two females were really attempting to rob Aaron and he believed that they had a gun, his actions would be considered self-defense.
And so, taking you back to the scene, back where all this stuff is going on, you shot twice?
I shot a total of 7 times. I shot, I believe, once here, 3 times here.
Your first shot was into
the... So your dad keeps the gun loaded, like the magazine is full?
Magazine is full.
Okay.
But unchambered.
And you emptied it. Okay. Where were the girls? Were they inside the back of the car when you first shot at them or shot at them?
The girl with the yellow hoodie was half in, half out. Her lower half was outside of the vehicle. Upper half was inside.
And then the girl with the face tattoo?
She was standing... just behind the threshold to the car.
And what was she
more
doing?
Towards the trunk.
Said she was diving over, but...
Whenever I started moving towards around the vehicle to get a better grasp on and control on the situation, she dived inside the vehicle again, reaching for what I assume is the gun. And so I shot 3 or 4 times.
Did you ever see the gun that they were trying to get to?
No, but they stated that they had the gun numerous times, and they kept saying, "Get the gun, get the gun, get the gun." So I assume that is what they were reaching for in the back.
Earlier, you said that they said something. How that they had a Glock 17? That they said that. How did that come out? That they had a Glock.
That 17? They were trying to tell me not to do anything stupid. Whenever, not to try and fight back or do anything. Whenever they were taking the car. Whenever they were telling me to step out of the car and look, we have a gun. We have a Glock 17 is exactly what they said. Under her sweatshirt, do not try anything stupid. We will not hesitate to shoot you. So that is how that originally came up. And then they stated numerous times throughout the entire interaction to grab said gun.
And you covered your eyes? You said that they tried to, that she was yelling to pepper spray you. Did she pepper spray you at all?
Yeah, I believe so. Forehead and hands were burning the entire time I was in the squad car. So that's what I assume it was. I didn't do anything other than get tased and pepper sprayed.
I'm going to be totally honest. I'm going to get a search warrant to look at your snap, to look at the Snapchat, yours and hers together, and try to see what y'all's conversation. That's why I want you the opportunity. What did y'all talk about? Even if you think it sounds bad, what did y'all talk about to me?
Okay. She said she was turning 18 soon. I didn't know how soon. She said, hey, look, it's Florida law.
I'm gonna see it anyway.
So originally I was like, she posted something about Pensacola boys. I'm like, oh, I'm not from Pensacola, but what's up? And she's like, oh, hi. And I'm like, what do you look like exactly? And then she sent me a picture of her face tattoo. She looked older and she said that she was 17, truthfully. And she said that the law is 4 years apart, really. That's, to my knowledge, the actual law.
And how old are you?
18. So, we talked about tattoos. I said, I think that it'd be funny if I got one around my private parts. She said, I think it'd look good. I'm like, you want to see in order to get an opinion on what you think would actually look good around there? And she was like, yeah, sure. And so she got it. She was like, oh, wow, you know, yada, yada, yada. Do you want to hang out? Yeah, sure. So truthfully, that's what I thought was going to happen. I didn't, if it wasn't happening, I wasn't going to press. I was going to actually actively pursue it. If she came on to me, I wasn't going to stop.
We've been doing this a long time, man. This is all we deal with. So
yes, sir.
You talking to us about anything sexual is not going to offend us. It's not going to surprise us. So you don't have to hold back.
I'm just ashamed, truthfully.
You're 18 years old, man. That's normal. Even if you left one hookup and was going after another hookup. So is that what you guys were going over there? At least you thought you were going over there to hook up?
I honestly didn't think that we were going to hook up at that time, though. Truthfully, 100%.
Did you have anything in your mind that you thought was going to go on when you went over, when you drove over there?
Nope. Especially since she said that we weren't going to be at anybody's house. It was just going to be in public and not exactly my forte.
Well, that's hardly public, you know, especially at around midnight or later.
Whenever I made contact with you at the Waffle House, the first thing you said out of your mouth was, can you take me back to the scene? I can show you around. Yeah. You still down for that?
Yeah.
You still got that much in your gas tank? Because mm-hmm. I think that'll be a, it'll help us see a little bit different than on this piece of paper.
For sure.
Okay.
The detectives would take Aaron back to the crime scene, and he would go through everything one more time. His story did not change from when he told it back in the interrogation room, so the detectives decided to look deeper into Jennifer Broxton and her friend Allison. It turns out that just 11 days prior, both females had been a part of a similar incident where they set up a male in Pensacola by suggesting sexual activity. According to the police report, when the victim stopped to get gas, the two females stole his truck. Later that same night, the two females were involved in a hit and run with a truck they had just stolen. In the end, Aaron would not be charged in the death of Allison. However, Jennifer would be charged with murder because she was in the process of committing a felony when Allison was killed. Jennifer is currently sitting in jail awaiting trial. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this case. Was Aaron justified in what he did? Please share your thoughts in the comments below.